In the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the session of the church, I want to greet all of you a very, very blessed, happy, joyous New Year. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Year. Now, this morning, my message is in time, and in the meantime, and in due time, in time, and in the meantime, and due time, and I speak from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Now, what to expect in the year 2014? I suppose if you are students in school, you expect to be promoted. Then I suppose if you are in year 12, you would be expecting to sit for your HSE exams at the end of the year. And those of the students, those who are in the university, and who are in the last year, of course, you expect to graduate by the end of your academic year. And then there might be some among us who expect to be employed in this new year. And then there are those in our midst who maybe expect to get married. And then there are those who are already married and you expect to have your child this year in the year 2014. And then in regards to the older ones, we may not like it. Yes, we may not like it. But we can't help it but expect to grow old. Yes, we can expect to be more vulnerable to illnesses and to injuries. But whatever we expect in the year 2014, my dear friends, I think what we can expect would be uncertainties. Isn't it true? Yes, uncertainties. I remember 2 years ago standing here at this pulpit here, speaking to the congregation. I can't remember whether it was on the first Sunday of the month or whether it was at the watch night service. I can't remember. But I remember asking myself, what to expect in the year 2012? Now, of course, I couldn't expect to have an illness-free year. But what I didn't expect was to have a heart condition. And as it turned out, I did have a heart condition and had to have 2 stents put into one of my arteries. Yes, my dear friends, what I'm trying to say is that we must expect uncertainties in the year 2014, and we will have them. But friends, while we expect for uncertainties, we may also expect certainties, and we definitely can expect certainties in the year 2014. And I want to talk about one or two of these certainties that we can expect in the year 2014. Yes, if we are walking close to the Lord, trusting the Lord, obeying Him, my dear friends, we can expect certainties. And that's what I want to talk about. First of all, what to expect in time. What to expect in time. What certainties to expect in time. Then I'll talk about what to do in the meantime while we wait for these certainties to come. And then what to do in due time when the certainties are here. So what to expect in time in regards to certainties. Now, I'd like us to look at Acts chapter 1 and look at verses 1 to 9. Verses 1 to 9. Verse 1. Now, this was Dr. Luke writing, and he was writing to this man called Theophilus. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In other words, he appeared to his disciples over a 40-day period. Perhaps about 10 times or so. And verse 4, and being assembled together with them, and they assembled, he assembled with them at this place called the Mount of Olives. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now that was the thing that they could expect with certainty. The promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. And verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, again at this place called the Mount of Olives, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Now that's the other thing that they could expect with certainty. They shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So what could they expect in time? What could they? The Lord said, Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. They could expect the fulfillment of this promise of the Father. In other words, they could expect God to be faithful. They could expect God's faithfulness. Yes, in fulfilling the promise which God had made. Now, what was the fulfillment of this promise? It was the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. That was the promise of the Father, the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, exactly when this Holy Spirit was going to outpour, the Lord Jesus Christ actually didn't tell them. He just told them, not many day hence. Not many day hence, but you are to wait in the city of Jerusalem. That's what the Lord told them. Now this outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit was something that was prophesied in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel. God made this promise through the prophet Joel. And Peter actually quoted the prophet Joel. You see in chapter 2 and verse 16, Peter talking about this incident of the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit, quoted from the book of Joel. Alright, look at chapter 2, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So Peter quoted from the Old Testament. You see, this is the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. See, God has fulfilled his promise of sending his mighty Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ also made it explicitly clear concerning the fulfillment of the outpouring of the mighty Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the Lord says, the word of God here says, And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the Lord Jesus Christ was also very, very clear in talking about the fulfillment of this promise, the promise of the Father of sending the Holy Spirit. Now, my point in talking about the fulfillment of the promise of the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit is not so much about the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, although this is a very, very important topic to talk about. But my point is this: God is faithful. God made the promise, and he must keep the promise. He promised that he will outpour the Holy Spirit. He must keep that promise, and he kept that promise. And so the Holy Spirit was outpoured on the day of Pentecost as promised by him. Now, was it possible for God to break his promise? Was it possible for him to go back on his word? Impossible. Because God is absolutely faithful. It would be inconsistent of him to break his promise. He must fulfill his promise. He is absolutely, absolutely faithful. Now, some people might use this analogy to talk about the faithfulness of God, but it is a very bad analogy. They say that if it were possible, say, for the sun to move back by, say, several degrees, then it would be possible for God not to be faithful. Now, this is a bad analogy because there was a time in history in which the sun did move back by several degrees, by 10 degrees, and it took place during the time of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was sick and he was dying, and he pleaded with the Lord to spare him. And the Lord said, Yeah, I will spare you. Yes, I will spare you. And Hezekiah said, What, Lord, what is the sign to indicate that you will spare me? And the Lord said, I will move the sun 10 degrees backwards. And the Lord did. did just that. So it was possible for the sun to be moved back 10 degrees. God did it. But dear friends, our God is unchangeable. As far as his faithfulness is concerned, it is unchangeable. God never changes. All right? As far as his faithfulness is concerned, in fact, he is immutable. He's unchangeable in his faithfulness. God is ever faithful. So that analogy that if the sun can be moved back the 10 degrees, then God can be unfaithful is a poor analogy. The truth is God is absolutely faithful. Yes, God is not man that he should lie. Now if we are walking close to the Lord, trusting in him, if we are obeying him, my dear friends, we can expect God to be faithful to us. Definitely, yes, because he is absolutely true. He cannot go back on his word. In the year 2014, we might be very concerned about our physical needs. Some of us might be very concerned about our physical needs. But did he not make this promise to us? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we all know this verse. Now let's say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My dear friends, he said so. It must be so. All these things that we are in need of, he shall add unto us. So should we worry about our physical needs, that our physical needs will not be provided? My dear friends, let's not be overly concerned about such things, because the Lord will surely provide. Then some might be very, very concerned about our need for a job. We say we are looking for a job, we need a job, or I need a promotion, I need to be successful in my studies. Some of us might be very, very concerned about this. But remember what the Lord says in Psalm 75 verses 6 and 7. What did he say? For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. Will he not prove himself faithful to us in keeping this statement true? Will he not? My dear friends, our God is absolutely, absolutely faithful. So let's trust in him. And then we might be very, very concerned and so worried about so many, many things that we worry that we might just lose our emotional and our mental balance. Isn't it true? Some of us worry so much and say, I think I'm going to crack up, right? Worry so much, we might worry that we lose our mental balance. But you know what the Lord says? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we know these two verses. They are very, very familiar to us. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. What are they? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what are we to do, my dear friends? The word of God says, be careful for nothing. In other words, let us not be burdened or be overloaded with care. Cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. If we were to cast all our cares upon him, he says to us that he will grant us peace that passes all understanding, that keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Will he go back on his words? Yes, no. Of course not. So why must we be worrying? We shouldn't be worrying. We should be casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. And then some of us might be very, very concerned about our health, and we are worried that in the year 2014, we might be afflicted with some kind of terrible diseases or some incurable diseases in the year 2014. But you know what his word says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 20 to 31, about the special providential care that God gives to all of us who call upon him as Lord and Savior. Yes, he says to us, are not two sparrows sold for two farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father's permission. No bird will fall from the sky without your father's permission. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Did you know that not one single hair from your body will fall from your body without his permission. Did you realize that? Well, hard to imagine, but it's true. No hair will fall from our body without his permission. So that is how much providential care he has for us. Nothing and nothing and nothing will happen to us unless the Lord permits it. Let's understand this truth. Those of us who belong to him, nothing will happen to us except the Lord permits it. And if the Lord ever permits us to suffer from some kind of affliction, let us understand this truth. He allows it to happen for our good, for his glory, and to the best of our interest. Let us trust him very, very deeply. So we can expect God to be absolutely, absolutely faithful in keeping his promises to us in the year 2014. Now, what else could the disciples expect based on the words of the Lord? What else could they expect? My dear friends, they could expect to receive power from the Lord after the Holy Ghost came upon them. And this was what the Lord said to them in chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, in other words, they could definitely, definitely expect this to happen, to receive power after the Holy Ghost came upon them. And the Holy Ghost did come upon them 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost. And what was the result? The result was they were filled with power, and they became the witnesses the Lord wanted them to be. And in fact, in the early church, many of the believers experienced the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit, and they were filled with Holy Spirit power. And it was noted that by the authorities or by many people that the Christians in the early church turned the ancient world upside down. That was noted by them. And then in the 16th century, yes, there was again the experience of Holy Spirit power by believers who lived in the 16th century. Yes, they were filled with Holy Spirit power to the extent they brought about the Great Reformation of the 16th century. Now, what about us today? Can we expect the Holy Spirit to fill us with Holy Spirit power today? Can we? My dear friends, we can. Yes, we can. We can because the Holy Spirit had already come. He came 2,000 years ago at the time of Pentecost. But the real question for all of us is, do we really want the Holy Spirit to fill us? Now that is the real question. Do we want him to fill us? Now we talk a lot about the filling of God's mighty Holy Spirit because that was our theme last year. Yes, we talk about a lot about the filling of God's mighty Holy Spirit. But the question is, did we want the Holy Spirit to fill us? Did we? Of course we can't expect the Holy Spirit to fill us if we didn't want him to fill us. There is this community of people known as the Amish people in America. You know, the Amish people, they are supposed to be believers, Christians supposed to be. And then they practice a form of a Christianity that borders on being cultic. They exclude themselves from the world and they exclude the world from them. They don't want to have any contact with the world. Yes, because to them, the world is evil. So they don't want to have anything to do with the world. They don't even want to have public electricity to power whatever appliances that they might have. They don't want that because they do not want television, they do not want the internet and so forth. They want to be very, very exclusive. So they generate their own power. But because, friends, they do not want to have this public electricity, can they expect to have electrical power? The answer is, of course, no. They cannot expect to have electrical power. Likewise, my dear friends, if we don't want the Holy Spirit to fill us, we cannot expect to have Holy Spirit power. This is very, very obvious. You don't want Holy Spirit to fill you, how can you expect to have Holy Spirit power? We can't. Now, if we want the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we want to experience Holy Spirit power, we must, first of all, want the Holy Spirit to fill us. We must want. And number two, We must ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Yes, and we must pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. And then if we really want Him to fill us, really, really want Him to fill us, we must live a life of obedience. And we definitely must not quench Him, we must not grieve Him. If we quench Him and we grieve Him, we will never experience the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, although the Holy Spirit is all-powerful, we have the capability of quenching Him. We have the capability of grieving Him. That's why the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul says, quench not the Spirit, because we are very capable of quenching the Spirit. And then Paul also says in Ephesians 4:13, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now we can quench Him. We can quench Him. And we quench Him by not letting Him show forth His power. So very, very often we quench Him. Now, let me give you an example of how we may quench Him. I've spoken about this at our basic Bible knowledge classes many times. Yes, how we may quench Him. Now, let's say that one day you come upon your friends, a group of friends. They are non-Christians. Now, you feel the urge of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with them. The Holy Spirit urges you and say, go, speak to them. And then you go, and then you get into their midst. But the moment you get into their midst, you clam up. You freeze. You're supposed to share the gospel, but you freeze. My dear friends, by so freezing, you quench the Holy Spirit. You do not allow the Holy Spirit to work. You do not allow Holy Spirit power to work through you. You freeze. You quench Him. Have we ever wondered why we don't have Holy Spirit power? One of the reasons is this, my dear friends, we keep quenching Him. Yes, we do not allow Him to work. The Holy Spirit says, pray, but we won't pray. The Holy Spirit says, read God's Word, but we won't read God's Word. The Holy Spirit says, go to the church prayer meeting, we won't go. Yes, the Holy Spirit says, why don't you participate in the SBS, Sunday Bible Study? We won't want to do it. We prefer to do other things. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do so many things. The Holy Spirit prompts us to take up the phone and call a friend to encourage the friend. But he says, no, I won't do it. The Holy Spirit says, why don't you text your friend, give your friend a message to encourage your friend? You won't do it. Yes, by so doing, my dear friends, or by our failure to do all those things which the Holy Spirit urges us to do, prompts us to do, we quench Him. That is why, my dear friends, we do not sense the release of the Holy Spirit power through us. Now, we can also grieve the Holy Spirit. Yes? And when we grieve Him, we deprive ourselves of Holy Spirit power. Now, how may we grieve Him? Now, let's come back to this situation of quenching God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit asks you to give the gospel, you clam up, you don't want to give the gospel, you quench the Holy Spirit. And then you get into the midst of your friends, and you start laughing, talking to your friends, and your friends start cracking dirty jokes. And then what do? Instead of feeling very, very indignant about the jokes that they crack, you enjoy the jokes. You laugh with them. You enjoy the jokes. My dear friends, you sin by so doing. And by so doing, you actually grieve God's mighty Holy Spirit. My dear friends, if we quench God's Holy Spirit and we grieve God's Holy Spirit, we can't expect God's Holy Spirit power to work through us. Yes? So what can we expect, my dear friends, with certainty in the year 2014? First of all, we can expect God to be faithful. As He was faithful in keeping His promise to outpour His Holy Spirit, my dear friends, He will be faithful to keep His promises to us. There are so many promises that the Lord has made to us. If we walk close to Him, we are following Him, walking in obedience to Him, we can expect God to be faithful to us. And then we can expect also to receive Holy Spirit power. Provided, as you said, we are willing to receive God's Holy Spirit. Provided we are willing to walk close to the Lord. Provided we are willing not to quench Him and not to grieve Him. Then we will fill with Holy Spirit power for the year 2014. So we can have these 270s for the year 2014. So the disciples could expect the faithfulness of God to keep his promises, and they could also expect God to fill them with Holy Spirit power in time. But what were they to do in the meantime? Look at verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord gave them this instruction. This was what they were to do. And being assembled together with them, the Lord commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. They were to wait. Now this is basic when we are expecting a blessing or blessings from the Lord. Sometimes God's blessings come immediately. At other times, God chooses for us to wait. And of course, waiting requires patience. And God wants us to exercise patience. Yes, he wants to produce patience in us. But we say, but the disciples actually didn't have to wait for a very, very long time, because they waited only for about 10 days. Yes, when the Lord said these words to them, they didn't have to wait for many days. Verse 5 says, the Lord says, for John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 10 days. Now, objectively speaking, are 10 days a short time, or are they a long time? Objectively speaking, I say short time, right? You say, 10 days. Very quickly, 10 days would pass. But dear friends, you and I know that, yes, the longness or the shortness of time in waiting can be very subjective. Alright? Now, if you don't want a thing to happen, you want a thing to be as far away as possible in time, my dear friends, I can tell you that the wait will be very, very short. For example, you students, I think you can relate to this. If you are not well prepared for your exams, and your exams is 3 months away, I say your 3 months wait is a long wait or short wait. I say very short wait, because you don't want your exams to come so quickly. So your wait will be very, very short, very long, or very short, yes. Now, let's say you're waiting for a train, all right? Waiting for a train, and then, you know, in Sydney here, at peak hour, you have to, during peak hours, you wait something like, 10, 15 minutes for the train to come. Now, let's say you're in a very great hurry to go to some place. 10, 15 minutes is not a long wait, is it? Not a very long wait. You run down to the platform, your train just left the station. Then you have to wait for another 15 minutes. Wow, your 15 minutes is a long wait, because you are in a hurry to go to some place. It's a long, long wait. But actually, it's only how long? 15 minutes. Then you think to yourself, how I wish I were in Singapore, you know. The MRT train will come maybe in 2 or 3 minutes. But you wait till you go to Singapore, and you run on the platform, and then you miss your train. And the next train comes in 2 minutes. Wow, 2 minutes, so long. You see what I mean now? So, how long you wait, or how short you wait, my dear friends, can be very, very relative. Okay? So, let's understand how the disciples could have felt waiting for the outpouring of God's mighty Holy Spirit. You see, their loving master had just left them, one who cared for them, who loved them so much, who died for them, yes, and who resurrected from the dead. And he had just left them. You know what emptiness they must have felt in their heart to see their Savior going up into heaven. And that's why they stood there gazing, you know, when the Lord ascended. They kept gazing and gazing. They must have felt great loss. They missed the Lord very much. But the Lord gave them some very comforting words. The Lord, before he was crucified, said to them, I will send another comforter, a comforter like myself. So, when they came back from the Mount of Olives, entered into the city of Jerusalem, they waited. Alright, the next morning they got up, they must have asked themselves, is it going to be today? The Lord said, not many days hence. Is it going to be today? And they waited. Day one went past. And then day two, they got up. Is it today? Is it today? They'll keep on waiting. I'm going to tell you that the 10 days could have been a long, long wait for them. But they must exercise patience. Friends, we might have made a request of the Lord, and we are expecting the Lord to give us an answer. we might have to wait for an answer from him. We might have to wait. The blessing could be material. The blessing could be, more importantly, spiritual. We had asked for the Lord to bless us with joy, with his joy, with his peace, with increased faith. We have asked the Lord for mercy. We have asked the Lord for to fill us with his mighty Holy Spirit so that the Lord may produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. But friends, the Lord wants us to wait with patience. You see, the Lord wants to produce patience in us. We study the book of James, why we are to wait. We are to wait because the Lord wants to produce patience in us. And patience is very, very necessary for us to run our Christian race, because our Christian race is not a short race. Our Christian race is a lifelong race. It's a long, long race. We have to run our Christian race with patience. Hudson Taylor, that great missionary to China, was asked, what were three very, very important qualities for missionaries to be successful in the missions field? Hudson Taylor replied, number one quality, patience. Number two quality, patience. Number three quality, understood. Patience, friends. So while we wait for the Lord to give us his blessings in time, we must in the meantime apply patience when we wait. And it is important, my dear friends, also to see that the disciples didn't just wait and didn't just do nothing while they waited. They prayed. You look at verses 12 to 14. They prayed. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were coming, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer. They didn't just wait, but they prayed. And with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. So they were to wait and they were to pray. Now, do you think this is something easy for us to do while we are waiting for the Lord to grant us his blessings? To wait and to pray. You think it's easy to do? I say it's very, very hard. Believe you me. Yes, very, very hard. Often, after we have prayed and we are waiting for the blessing to come, we will fret while we wait, and sometimes we might even complain. And we might say, hey, maybe the Lord doesn't want to answer our prayers. Maybe the Lord is not interested in fulfilling his promise to me. My dear friends, how we need to remind ourselves, and we can only remind ourselves from God's word, that God is absolutely faithful. Whatever he promises, he will do. And how we need to wait for him with patience. Yes, how we need to wait for him with patience, and how we need to come before him in prayer. Don't just wait, but come before him in prayer, just like the great saints in time past did. They always came before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help. And that's exactly what we must be doing. We must be praying, waiting, praying, waiting, praying, and exercising patience. Now let us do that in the year 2014, this year. We might have prayed for something, waiting for the Lord's blessings to come. Let us wait, let us pray, and let us exercise patience. And finally, what did the disciples do in due time? When the Holy Spirit was outpoured in due time, what did the disciples do when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? The Lord said in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What did they become, my dear friends? What did they do? They witnessed. They became the witnesses the Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to be. Filled with Holy Spirit power, they went out witnessing. Once the Holy Spirit power was unleashed upon them, nothing could stop them from witnessing from the Lord. Nothing. Not persecution. Not punishment. Nothing could stop them. When they were hauled up by the Jewish religious authority, my dear friends, they didn't cower. No. Yeah, in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin from the Jewish religious leaders, they answered. You know, they were brought up, and then there was an inquest, if you like. Yes, and they responded. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak. Yes. No way are you going to stop us from speaking. We'll speak forth. We'll witness for him. And that exactly was what happened when the Holy Spirit power came upon them. Now today, we are living in an age that is past due time. Due time took place 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit was outpoured. So we are living in an age that is past due time. Yes, the Holy Spirit has already come. Like the saints that preceded us, as of the day of Pentecost, we are to be the witnesses the Lord wants us to be. Whether it be in our office, whether it be in our home, whether it be in the church, whether it be during the times when we are socializing, we are to be his witnesses. In the year 2014, we must be better witnesses than we were in the year 2013. Yes, let's pray. And let's not just give him lip service. Let us not just tell him, oh Lord, I want to be a better witness in the year 2014. And then it's just lip service. Nothing happens. You are the same as you were before. Nothing has changed. Yes, you don't care to give up the gospel. No interest to live up as a better Christian for the Lord. No interest at all. That must never be the case, my dear friends. We must be better witnesses for the Lord in the year 2014. It is not that the Lord has not given us the means to do so. He has given us the means to do so. He has given us the Holy Spirit. If we want him to fill us, yes, and if you are walking close to him, if we choose not to grieve him, choose not to quench him, he will fill us and we will experience the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now, throughout the time the disciples went out witnessing, I dare say that they could never forget that incident, the time when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven. That scene must be very, very clear to them in their minds. They must have very well remembered what the Lord said. They must have remembered what the angel said. They must remember very, very clearly what they saw. Look at verse 8 and verse 10 and to 11, okay? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Very clear words. You will see him descending upon the Mount of Olives, just as he was taken up. This is going to happen. Now they could never forget these words that were spoken by the angels, I'm very, very sure. And so when they served the Lord, during the time that they sent out to witness, during the time when they went out witnessing, after the day of Pentecost, my dear friends, they must always be thinking, they must have always been thinking of this any timeness of the Lord's return. He may return any time, and he shall return in so like manner, at any time. And so Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's turn to 2 Peter and look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 8 to 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Let me read these verses for you. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. They were very, very clear about this truth. Yes, at the time when they expected the Lord not to come, they would come. He would come as a thief in the night. And so they were very ready for his soon return. And how could they prepare themselves to be ready for his soon return? They prepared themselves by being the witnesses the Lord wanted them to be. Now, in our case, let us understand that it is not in due time. Not in due time the Lord will return. Yes, but let us understand also that in the time we least expect the Lord to return, he will return. Yes. In the time least expected, he will return. And don't just think of in due time he will return, but in the time least expected, he will return. Will he return in the year 2014? You say, no, can't be. You see, we say can't be. And then he will come, because he will come in the time least expected. Now, I told you several stories about this man called Lord Shackleton. I'll tell you another story of this man, this great explorer. And this time he was exploring the South Pole. He made several attempts to land at the South Pole, but he failed. And then in one of the attempts, the failure was quite bad. He had to leave his men on this island called Elephant Island. He left some men there, and then he went away and he said, I will come back for you. And he had to come back for them, because if he didn't come back for them, they might die. You see, so he had to come back for them. So he made several attempts to try to rescue his men. But the weather was so bad. One day the weather was still very, very bad. But he said, there was no other way, but I must make this attempt to try to rescue them. And then there was just one window of time, half an hour window of time. You know, to get to the Elephant Island, he had to go through a passage between two big icebergs. The icebergs would come together anytime. But there was a window of half an hour, and he had to go in and come out within half an hour. So he went in, and when he got in, all the men were ready. All their sleeping bags were all rolled up nicely, ready to jump into the boat to be taken away. And so he rescued them, and he rescued them successfully. Then after he rescued them, he asked them, how come you were so ready? And they said to him, our leader told us that you might come back anytime. Yes, he told us that whether the weather was good or whether it was bad, it didn't matter, you might come back anytime. So every day we made sure that our sleeping bags were all properly rolled up and that we were ready to go. And when you came back, we were ready to go. So my dear friends, the Lord can come anytime. We must be ready, my dear friends, when he comes. And he can come in 2014, as we said, he comes at the time least expected. Then in the year 2014, there's one thing that we can expect of the Lord. We can expect him to be faithful, just as he was faithful in keeping his promise to outpour his mighty Holy Spirit. He is faithful in keeping his promises to us. We can be very, very sure of that, provided we walk close to him, provided we are walking in obedience to him. And we can be very, very sure that we may be filled with Holy Spirit power, if we are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, if we are walking too close to him, walking in obedience to him, and if we will not grieve the Holy Spirit, and if we will not quench the Holy Spirit. And in the meantime, while we are waiting for blessings to come from the Lord, we must do two things. Number one, wait. Wait with patience. Number two, we must pray. Wait and pray, wait and pray, and expect great things from the Lord. You see, the Lord wants us to wait because he wants to produce patience in us so that we may be able to run our Christian race well. And finally, let us recognize that today we are living in an age that is past due time. The Holy Spirit of God has already come. We can be the witnesses that he wants us to be because the Holy Spirit has already come. And he wants us to be the witnesses that he wants us to be, waiting for the soon return of the Lord. My dear friends, will we be ready when he comes? I trust we will be. And remember, he may come in the year 2014. And we say, no, no, he can't come in the year 2014. Remember, in the time least expected, he will come. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us, O Lord, to love you. Teach us to know your truth. And we pray that we may, by your grace, be able to practice your truth. And Father, we thank you for these two certainties that you have shown to us from your word today. We can expect, O Lord God, that you will be faithful to us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ in the year 2014. And we can expect you, O Lord God, to fill us with your Holy Spirit and with Holy Spirit power, provided we are willing to be filled, provided we are walking close to you, provided we quench you not and we grieve you not. And Father, in the meantime, while we are waiting for blessings to come from you, teach us to wait patiently and teach us to pray diligently. And Father, we pray that all of us may be very well prepared for your soon return. Enable us to recognize that we are living in an age which is past due time. The Holy Spirit is already here, and he can fill us and make us the witnesses that we ought to be in waiting for the soon return of the Lord. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.